Welcome to Down the Garden Path. I'm your host, Joanne Shaw, landscape designer and plant lover. I enjoy discussing down-to-earth tips and advice to help you seasonally manage your garden and landscape. And I also aim to bring you interesting and relevant topics to educate you all about the landscaping and horticultural industry. Down the garden path. I'm welcoming back Julia DeMarcos to the show today, and we are discussing microgreens and sprouting. Julia has been a past guest, and I'm so excited that she's joining me for my first show back in my season 10 of Down the Garden Path. So a little bit about Julia. Julia DeMarcos, also known as the Gardening Girl, with her 7,000 square foot kitchen garden, which is located in Mono, Ontario. 25 acres on the Niagara Escarpment. Julia has been growing vegetables and writing about gardening for over 13 years. She was twice published in the Canadian Organic Grower magazine and became a published author in July of 2022 with her first book, Tea Gardening for Beginners. Welcome back to the show, Julia.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be back and I love chatting with you.
And I'm so excited you could join me as my first guest for the new season. And I love this topic too. So I'm so glad that we can talk about microgreens and sprouting.
I love this topic. So I'm really happy that you asked me here to speak on it.
Where would you like to start? Like, do we start with sprouting or do we start with microgreens?
We can start with sprouting. Okay. Because it's an easy one, I think. And it's, I think it's easy. But I think it's a quick topic that we can cover. And it's not as diverse of a topic as microgreens can be, which is, I find to be a much broader, possibly more tricky. There are trickier things, whereas sprouting is, I think it's fairly straightforward. So where do you want to begin?
Well, how do we get started? So, I think people see the bags of sprouts in the grocery store and they see that they cost a fortune, right? So that is one good reason to start sprouting at home. But where would one start?
So you need, first of all, you need to have the seeds. So not everything will sprout. A lot of things will sprout, but not everything. So when you're sprouting, when you're eating sprouts, you're eating the entire plant. So it's the seed, you know, pops open and inside you have like a little radicle and you have the seed leaf sometimes, but that's basically it. But you're eating the entire plant. So you can't eat the entire plant of everything. Like you're not going to sprout, let's say a pumpkin seed in a jar. And then you maybe would be able to eat the tiny plant, but then you also have that big hull in there. And so it gets complicated to clean it out. If you have a jar of seeds, you know, that would be tricky and messy to probably clean it out. You also probably wouldn't want to sprout a jar of sunflower seeds, because in the same way, you can't eat the seed hull, you know, and it's fussy to pick through and worry about. So it's a lot easier to grow that as a microgreen. Whereas a sprout, you have to consider that. So something that you can easily sprout would be, let's say, chickpeas, really easy to sprout because you'd eat the entire thing. And you also don't need to sprout them for as long because you don't need to have a big, long radicle and a leaf. You're literally just eating the seed and the little tiny radicle that comes out, and then it's considered sprouted. And with sprouting, sprouts are ready for harvest anytime. So as soon as the sprout, as soon as the seed germinates and has a tiny radicle, you can harvest it then. If you want it to be longer and you prefer like a longer, more abundant sprout to consume, then you can leave it for longer and it'll grow longer. So really that's the easy part with sprouts. And then another thing that you could grow for sprouting is the tiny seeds. So things like brassicas, like broccoli and kale, make excellent sprouts. They're also, broccoli contains sulforaphane. And so that's like an anti-cancer property. And so if you've heard before how broccoli can be anti-cancerous and it's really good for protecting you against that. Well, when you're eating the sprout, you're getting like 100 times more of that sulforaphane than if you were to eat like a head of broccoli from the garden or from the grocery store. So that's the great thing, is that you can, you know, you're eating the entire plant, you're all the energy it takes to grow a plant, you're eating that. And so that, but then when you eat a mature plant, all that energy is now expired. You're just eating, you know, the harvest. Whereas like with the seed, the sprout, you're eating that entire plant, including all the energy and all the goodness. It goes into you, and what, which is why it makes it like 100 times more potent than if you were to eat it mature, even more so than eating a microgreen. That is like the most potent thing. So things that sprout. So brassicas, easy, radishes, kale, broccoli. You could do komatsuna, you could do collards, you can sprout all cabbage, you can sprout all these things. And they're really tiny when they start. You could also sprout adzuki beans, lentils. They're really good for sprouting. You can sprout mung beans. So you know when you have Chinese food and there's like bean sprouts in it. Mm-hmm. That's mung beans. So those are mung beans. And they're, the reason why they're white is because they don't have any chlorophyll, because they're sprouted in the dark. So there's light is excluded, which makes them so beautiful and plump and juicy and white, you know. So that's another thing you can sprout. What you can't sprout is you can't sprout arugula, because arugula will stick to the side of the jar and will clump. And it forms like this gelatinous kind of coating on every seed. And it really, immediately, as soon as you wet it, it has like this layer, this kind of slimy layer on the exterior, and it will not drain. It'll just be like a mass of jelly in your jar. I've tried it. It doesn't work. So
it doesn't work. That, like you said, you know, chia seeds, right? Like you picked your chia seeds.
Chia seed. Yeah, they won't work. But you could sprout sesame seeds, which are really healthy for you. You can try that. You can sprout, you know, even like, I mean, I'm taking it to the next level, but you can sprout almonds a little bit, and then you can milk them if you wanted to. And they are going to be sprouted almond milk, which is a lot healthier for you and easier to digest. So yeah, that's basically the gamut. So you start with the seeds. You want to soak them first before you sprout them. They need to soak in order to help crack through that seed coat. It helps to soften it. It also allows you to grow them much quicker. And by soaking it, you're also cleaning off any potential bacteria, this residue or filth or dirt that's like on them from dust or just sitting around. You never know where they were. So you want to clean them off. So this first you can rinse them. But what I like to do is I get a glass canning jar, and then I put my seeds in there. And depending on the size of the jar and depending on the size of the seeds, you have to adjust, you know, how much you put in. Yeah. So let's say I have a 1 liter canning jar and I am growing chickpeas. So in that case, I would probably put 4 or 5 tablespoons of the dry chickpea seed in there. And then I would cover it with water. Probably I would pour maybe 2/3 water in that jar to give it extra water, because it will expand as it soaks the next day. So you can either only soak, or, you know, soak for like 3-4 hours if you're in a rush. But what I like to do is I like to start them the night before or the afternoon before, leave them overnight the next day, then drain them, rinse them really well several times. So once I put them in the jar, I don't need to take them out. I put a lid on, and the lid, you can purchase a sprouting lid, which is basically a canning jar rim, like normal rim that you would use mm-hmm. for canning. And then it has an insert of a mesh. Now I prefer the stainless steel mesh type of filter because it doesn't get moldy and dirty, and it's easy to clean and it's sterile. If you use plastic, I would probably want to soak that in like vinegar or put it through the dishwasher, because it can harbor some bacteria in the plastic. Mm-hmm. So that's why I prefer a mesh screen, but I've tried both. And then some people use, maybe they use like a nylon, you know, like a pantyhose nylon.
Oh,
you can put that over the jar. You can maybe put some cheesecloth if you wanted to, but these are like one-time uses. You're not going to want to use it past that. So that's why I like, you know, you buy a 1 lid or a pack of lids from Amazon or maybe your health food store where they sell sprouting equipment, and you have them forever. They'll never spoil. They're easy to clean. So once you put the seeds in and the water in, the next day when you swish and rinse, you just, you know, pour the contents out into the sink, pour the water back into the jar, swish around, pour it out again, and do that. I'd like to do like 3-4 times, and then that's it. It's ready to go. Then you need to flip your jar on a 45 degree angle upside down so that the water will drain out. Because if you don't, and it sits in water, then bacteria can grow, it can mold and rot. So So you don't want that. You want the water away from the seeds. So a 45 degree angle is perfect. And you shouldn't flip it like 90 degrees either, like straight upside down, because that will also pull and the seeds will sit in it. So you want it, a 45 is like the perfect angle for the seeds to kind of cling to the side of the jar and then the water to drip out. So you can purchase stands, you know, online at Amazon, or you can go to Mum's Sprouting Seeds, which is one of my favorite seed suppliers for seeds and for sprouts and microgreens. Okay. And they sell these little stands, these like little stainless steel stands, and it has like this really heavy duty hard plastic tray, may even be biodegradable, I'm not sure, but I've had it forever. And then, you know, you prop up your jar on that little stand, and then the water drips down, and I clean it as I need to, and that's it. And then as they sit there, the humidity will build in that jar from the water and the moist seeds. So then three times a day, you want to rinse those seeds three times a day. So first thing in the morning, and if you go to work, then I would say as soon as you get home from work, and then again at bedtime. And if you're not at work and it's the weekend, I would do three times a day, you know, like first thing in the morning, midday, and then at bedtime. Mm-hmm. Every time, because if you don't rinse them, it'll harbor bacteria in that jar, because the humidity will encourage bacterial growth. It's the perfect setting. So the only way to clean that is just to rinse it. But if you do, you'll have clean, healthy seed. It will not be infested. It will not be, you know, sick. So that's the key, is three times a day of that. And then as soon as you feel your seeds are ready, most seeds will start to sprout. Most, except for broccoli, I find takes, you know, might take 3 days for your broccoli seeds to show signs. So keep rinsing and keep doing that. They will pop, you know, it takes a little bit of time. They're really slow to get started. It may be 7 to 10 days before you're eating your broccoli sprouts, but it's worth it. You know, the taste of a sprout too is way more potent than a microgreen or, you know, a mature plant. It's way stronger. Like, it's just the crunch. It's crunchier. It's more potent. I find it tasty, but not everything is for everyone. So if you're sprouting radishes and mustards, which you can, they can be a little spicy because it's so much more potent than if you were to microgreen, you know, grow it as a microgreen or as a mature plant. So yeah. But those will be quicker. So radish maybe is like a few days, 3, 4, 5 days.
Broccoli, how long is chickpea? Kale. You mentioned chickpeas. Like, if we focus on that.
4 days.
4 days.
Four or five at the most. Yeah, because they don't need to grow a long radical. It's just a small one that comes out. It pops out. Maybe it's like half an inch long and it's done.
Okay.
So, yeah. Fenugreek is one of my favorites. I just want to mention the fenugreek is really good for you. And it's popular in Indian cuisine. But I really love the seed, like the sprout of it. I don't eat the leafy green for that. Like, I'm harvesting for the actual sprout. It's got a nice... It's not as thick as a mung bean or a bean sprout, but it still has some thickness to it. It's got a beautiful flavor. And that one is quick. That one, I soak it, and then it plus 4 days and it's ready. Like, really ready. Like, it fills the jar and it's ready.
Cool. Yeah. And what do you do with them? Like, you can obviously add them to salads. Some of them you can saute or not saute?
Yeah. So, you know, for example, the fenugreek, I love it as a salad topper, but I also love it gently stir fried, like at the last second, or you could put it on fish, you know, like at the last second, something hot, just like put on, or on a soup. You want to make pumpkin soup or like a butternut squash soup, take a pinch, a scoop of your fenugreek and just put it on top of the hot soup. It is delicious. It is so delicious. So in that case, you can cook it. Anything that's like that, you can cook hummus. I like to make hummus out of the chickpeas. So that's my favorite way to use them, but you could also make a soup with them. So, you know, you could then put them in the pot and cook them, and you have, you don't have to soak those chickpeas from dry to make a soup with them or something. Cause they're already, once they're sprouted, they're ready. They're edible the way they are without any cooking really. So, but you could, if you wanted to cook something with them. But I love making hummus with it. It has a really nice, like a gentle crunch. It's not like, you know, a chickpea out of a candy jar, out of a can. It's a little bit of a crunch. It's got a really nice texture. It's so yummy. So that is what you would do with it. And then also, but then if you're growing like alfalfa, you're not going to cook that. It's really thin. It sprouts really quickly. It fills the jar. And I find it sprouts quickly. It's a nice sandwich topper. I remember as a kid, like, you know, sandwich it, deli sandwiches with a scoop of alfalfa sprouts. And alfalfa sprouts are, you know, pricey at the store, but they're really, you don't need a lot of seed to grow that amount that they sell. You know, maybe that's a tablespoon.
Yeah.
And they're so easy to grow. So those things you would just add to things raw, wherever you want to have, you know, something, added nutrients during the, especially during the winter when, you know, salads are kind of wilty in the grocery store. You could just grow a bunch of different sprouts and make a big salad out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we need a sprouting kitchen. We almost need like a sprouting kitchen, like so that you know what I mean? But you have to go to it. Like you said, you can't forget. You have to wash it and
you have to rinse it 3 times a day. Put it next to your sink, you know, or on the counter where you see it, because it has to be on hand. You have to, like, you cannot set a timer in your phone, you know, like remind yourself to rinse those sprouts. It's a commitment, but it's worth it because it costs so little money to sprout a tablespoon or two of seeds, and you end up with a lot, right? So it's definitely worth it, but you have to keep it on hand. You have to see it. Or, you know, in a workplace, like let's say you have a workshop and you're there all the time. Like me in my gardening room, I keep it next to the sink in my gardening room. Right. So I'm always here. I'm always rinsing it. I never forget it. Another thing I want to mention, when you harvest them, when they're ready to go, you take them and you pop them out of the jar and you put them into a large bowl and you fill the bowl with ice cold water and you let them kind of swim. And then you just like swish them around with your fingers. And you want to try to separate the hulls from the rest of the seed, from the seeds or the sprouts, because I don't find they taste very good. So you want to swish it around. All the hulls will rise depending on the hulls. So if they're like radish or broccoli, they're very small and they will float. You just scoop them off the side and try to like stir around those sprouts, which will also clean them. And then you want to scoop off as many hulls as you can. And if they're not all coming up, just, you know, kind of turn the sprouts over in the bowl with the water and try to get them out. So, you know, fenugreek is a bit fiddly. It takes me a while, but it's worth it because I don't like eating the hulls, and it takes some time. So I do that, and then I put it into a strainer, let it drain, and then I put it back in the water, and then it finds it separated more. Someone I know, she uses a salad spinner. So she puts them in the salad spinner and rinses them in there, and then when she she spins it, which helps separate some of those hulls, but also gets rid of the excess water. Some people don't use a salad spinner and they just leave it in the strainer for an hour to like kind of air dry a bit. And then you would take it out. And I like to store them in glass containers in the fridge with, you know, the clicky lids, the plastic, you know, the plastic lid that clicks down onto a glass container.
Okay.
And I just put a little sheet of paper towel at the bottom and I put the sprouts on top, and I find that that helps absorb any moisture. And like that, your sprouts should last about 5 days at the most.
Okay.
They should be pretty good and healthy. And if you're not certain, I would rinse them before using them, just to, if they smell a little bit off, just to be sure, just rinse them, give them a good rinse, and then they're good.
Oh, wow. That is great. And that's a quick turnaround, right? Like that's, you know, if you can turn them around and then they last 5 days, like it's kind of interesting. And more beneficial. You mentioned something about like if we go back to chickpeas, sprouted them, they're more
digestible.
Digestible.
So anything sprouted is more digestible. So, you know, chickpeas sprouted, definitely more digestible as a bean. Let's say you want to make soup and you want to put like lentil soup, or you want to make, there's even, you know, on Mums, they have cranberry beans for sprouting. So cranberry beans are, yes, they're a type of dry bean that you would make soup out of, or chili.
Yep.
You could sprout them first, which would make them more digestible. So you wouldn't have all those, you know, the pains in your stomach. And then you could cook them as you would. So do whatever you want with them, make a soup, make a chili, make something, casserole, and then you don't have to worry about the pain in your stomach because the sprouting process helps make them more digestible. Prebiotic, I believe.
Prebiotic. Yes. That was the word you used.
Yeah.
Okay. I made lentil soup the other day. So we've been having that for lunch. So I've been trying, you know, trying lentils, not something I grew up eating, but they really are good.
They are good, and there's so many different types, and you can actually sprout all of them. So, you know, the black beluga lentils, which look like little black caviar almost, they call them caviar lentils.
Okay.
Beluga, like the cat, you know, the beluga caviar, they're black, they sprout, you can use them, they're smaller and more shiny and glossy, I find the coat. And you can do those, you can do the green ones, you can do the red ones, you can do like any of them and make them into sprouts, and, you know, try that.
Great.
You want to use fresh seed though. So if you're going to go to a store and they have bags and bags of seeds on the, like a grocery store, and they have bags of seeds, you don't know how old those seeds might be. So you may get a jar of duds, right? Some might sprout, but then many might not. And then what are you going to do? Pick out the ones that sprouted and leave the rest. So you're better off with fresh seed, not seed in a bag from the grocery store. I wouldn't recommend that.
Okay. And where is the best place to get seed? Like, where do you get
So Mum's Sprouting Seed, MUMM apostrophe S. I
Okay.
believe they're out of BC. I get
Okay.
I go there as my source because they also have a lot of really great information on sprouting and growing microgreens. So you can go there. And they have like everything you can dream of pretty much is there. So that's one really good place. And also West Coast Seeds, also out of BC, which is a seed company, but they also have a slew of seeds for sprouting and microgreens. I
Okay.
like Mum's. I haven't purchased huge sizes from West Coast Seeds, but I like Mum's because you can get like kilo size bag. So when I buy fenugreek and chickpeas, I buy kilo size bags because I make a lot of it, and
Yeah.
a tiny bag doesn't last me long, so I prefer the larger bag if you're
Yep.
doing a lot. But I just placed an order yesterday, and I got red basil because red
Oh.
basil microgreens are really fun.
Okay.
Yeah, and I bought cilantro and I bought pink beets. So this is at Mom's. They have a lot of fun varieties you can try.
Okay, good.
And
I'll definitely
another
have that
thing,
in the show notes for sure.
yeah, Mom's. Yeah, and when we get to microgreens, there's surprising microgreens that I learned this year from West Coast Seeds because I'm actually a brand ambassador with them. And I learned that you can actually grow cucumbers as microgreens.
Wow.
Yeah,
Oh
I
my
never
gosh.
thought of
Yeah, well, let's
that.
segue to microgreens. If what would be the difference between sprouts and microgreens?
So with sprouts, you're like I mentioned before, you're eating the entire plant, right?
Right.
Radical to the seed leaf or the seed coat, whatever. That the cotyledon and the radical. You eat the entire plant. So with the microgreen, you're planting it. And so you don't eat the radical, you're basically just eating the stem and the leaf. And with the microgreen, with the sorry, so going back to sprouting. In sprouting, you're not growing the sprouts to grow a true leaf. You're eating only the cotyledon, which is the baby leaf. It's not the
Okay.
true leaf, right? It's the food of the plant. So when every seed has a cotyledon, which looks completely different than the true leaf, that cotyledon contains all the nutrients that that baby seed needs in order to germinate and grow its first set of true leaves, which is why that nutrition is so concentrated because you're eating the cotyledon. The cotyledon has the most nutrients. With the microgreen, you are not harvesting the root. You're cutting the microgreen above your medium, whatever your planting medium is that you used, and you're eating that bit of that stem, and you're having the leaf. And the leaf is the cotyledon up to the first leaf, depending on what you're growing. So, for example, sunflowers are not tasty if you eat the true leaf. I find that they're a bit fuzzy and tough and bitter. But the cotyledon leaf, which is the seed leaf, is delicious. It's nutty. It tastes like a sunflower seed, except it's
Okay.
green, right? It's basically the sunflower seed is opened up and those two hard white parts of that seed
Yes.
have grown. They've expanded and they're green. It's the same thing, right? That's the cotyledon. So that is tasty. So you want to harvest your sunflowers before the first true leaf. And then there's other things like most of them you want to harvest. I like them right before they develop the first true leaf because often the first true leaf to the stem of the first true leaf can be really tough and chewy. So that's why you would harvest up until you start seeing, the first true leaf cracking through the start slight development, it's ready for harvest. But you're only eating that. So the stem and up
Okay.
to just before the first true leaf.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you mentioned medium. So what, so is it in water as well, or is this more in soil?
So some people grow it. So it's definitely not in water,
Okay.
and water would be sprouting. There are some tools, there are some little growing tools you can purchase which look like they're sitting in water, but they're not. They're basically meshed, and the water is being poured through them. And if the container is just right, they will grow upwards because the humidity is high, but they'll still develop kind of like a stem. Some mediums, they sell trays that are just basically mesh, and you and the roots will then grow through the mesh and they sit in water, but they are not growing entirely in water. So yeah. But so in terms of medium, you could do a seed starting mix or you could do coconut coir. You want something that's sterile because they're so young and immature that anything that is like heavy soil, potting mix, garden soil, well, first of all, it's too strong for that baby seed. And secondly, you're introducing potential bacteria and viruses, parasites.
Yeah.
So you don't want that. So that's why I like seed starting mix and I like coconut coir. Then they sell these things called Terra Fiber Mats. There's a company out of, I think they're also, well, they're the West Coast. I can't remember if they're Alberta or BC, but Terra Fiber, T-E-R-R-A.
Is that what I have here?
I
do you
don't
know?
Think so. So the Terra Fiber has a white underliner.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that
it just
is
calls
based...
it this kit. So I happen to have it for our listeners who can't see our video.
Yeah.
I have a little kit that I bought, and it just says biodegradable grow mat. So it doesn't really give me
Doesn't say what
any,
material it is.
does not say what material it is
I
unless I can
believe
find
Terra
it.
Fiber is hemp. It's a hemp fiber.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's compostable. And so in that case, that would be your medium, and you would wet that medium and you'd sprinkle the seeds over top and in whatever tray that you're using, whether you have like a little clamshell container, you can take it, you can use a takeout container. You have a container there that kind of looks like a takeout container. And then you can use like a growing tray, like a 10 by 20 tray that you'd, you know, like reuse for seed starting.
Okay.
You can use the smaller sprouting trays, and you can put the down, you know, the piece of Terra Fiber and sprinkle the seeds over top, and then they will grow through that, and that'll be your medium, because that medium will hold moisture and allow them to grow. So it's tricky to not grow them in something that holds moisture, because they will dry.
Right.
So
do you
some
need
people
grow
use paper
lights, or
towel.
what's the lighting?
Not initially. So you once you select your container, and the containers can be, you can get really creative with containers, right? Like you can use like produce boxes, you can use like mushroom boxes, you can use, you know, keep your berry boxes. They can be as small as you want, as large as you want. You can use an egg carton if you wanted to, and, you know, put a little bit of soil down into each little egg well and grow like a scoop of seeds in each one and have like little minis. If you wanted to do like a seed starting tray and you wanted to like cover each one and then just harvest like little seedling size, you know, like plugs, you can cut those, and that would be like your mini single use. Let's say you wanted to top something or as a garnish. So yeah, so that's, the world is your oyster when it comes to that. And the thing about the lights is you don't need lights initially. So you, when you're growing a microgreen, you're trying to grow a longer stem. So if you give them really good light initially, they're going to stay short, right? Because as you'd want for seed starting, you don't want leggy seedlings. But when it comes to microgreens, you want them leggy. The legginess is what we eat, right? The longer the leg, the longer this microgreen, the more we have to consume. So you want that. You're not growing plants here. You're just growing, you know, short microgreens to eat as quickly as possible. So initially, when you seed your tray or whatever, you know, you could even do a teacup and saucer, make it cute. Like you really, you can, a clay pot. Like it really,
fun.
You can make it as cute and ornamental as you want, and have all different like heights and sizes and different colors and everything. So yeah, so once you start, you want to exclude the light. You want to, I mean, if you're a professional grower and you're growing for restaurants, right? You want to grow a 10, 20 tray. There's a process involved. So for someone at that level, you need to cut, you know, put down your medium, put down the seeds. You want to make sure that you measure them out. You don't want to overcrowd them. You don't want to like pour them thickly so you can't see the soil in between. You want to make sure that they're kind of spaced out, because as they grow, they need space for those roots to go down. And the seeds will, if you don't, they'll crowd each other, and you'll end up getting like different stages of growth. You'll have like the normal length, longer one, and then just beneath will be like minis, and it's just gonna be a waste. So you leave some gaps. And there's a lot of information too online, like the websites, like, well, I think they tell you how much they recommend for each seed. So if you go to Mom's, it tells you like how many ounces you should put, or grams you should use for whichever, for each one. And yeah, so then you seed it, you water it, you cover it, and then you're excluding the light. So if it's a big tray, you would put down another tray on top, and you'd put weights down on that tray.
Interesting.
So the weights, and so initially I didn't know, when I was a new gardener, I had no idea, like, why would you stack these, you know, you could even stack trays, right? Like they will all grow, and you want to force them to direct their roots down. If you don't, they're going to be lazy, because they're sitting on top of the soil. You're not burying them in soil. You're just sprinkling it on top of the medium. If you don't, they're just going to like do like topsy turvies and end up with roots facing up and sideways. And so, you know, the weight is there to like make them work and direct their roots south. Like, we want them down. Where are you going? Right.
Yeah.
If they direct them out of the soil, they're dead. They're just not going to grow. So that's what it's for. So once they start to germinate, you will see, and all their roots go down, you will see them pushing those little seedlings, those tiny things will push up whatever weight you have on top of them off of themselves. They're so strong. If you put like a brick on top, it would push the brick. It makes it work really hard. Yeah, it's amazing. They have such force.
Power of plants, man.
Right? Eat power of plants, exactly. Once you see them doing that, then you take the weight off. So you take a, if you leave them on too long, and it's like, let's say it's arugula, you'll squat, it'll flatten it. Like it grows, but then if you just ignore it, it'll just like, they'll collapse, they'll lay sideways. So you want to make sure that once you see that the germination begins and they start pushing the tray up, take the weights off. You can still leave the tray down on it, let it continue. And then once they've all kind of germinated, you're going to be checking daily. If you find that the microgreens or the seeds are dry, you can spray them. Okay. To make sure that they don't lose their moisture. And you want to check underneath. So the tray will have a tray under it. So the tray that you plant into has drainage holes. The tray beneath it is a drip tray. So when you lift up your drainage hole tray that has the seeds on it, you'll see, like, are there roots coming through the drainage holes? If there are, you want to have some water underneath in the drip tray. So I like to spray some water in there. Once they grow, you know, there's a lot of roots, then you can pour some water in there. But if it's like, looks like it's dry, then that those roots will need some water to grow. Okay. Yeah. So then where are we? So then you take off the cover and you flip it in reverse. So rather than the tray sitting inside the tray with the seeds, like the upper tray, right? You're going to flip it in reverse. So now it's like a dome instead. And it's still going to be in something called blackout, because you want to have those seedlings become lanky to grow in search of light. So then they fill that tray that's above them now, because it's in reverse as a dome. Once they've done that, you take off that lid and you set them under grow lights.
Okay.
And then they will green up. And at that point, they're almost ready. So they do a lot of their growing in the dark.
Okay.
And then they finish off growing under the lights.
Okay. Like now, does it need to be lights, or can it be like now just it's like the kitchen lights or whatever, but should you have grow lights?
A grow light will create a more even type of carpet of growth. But if you are growing something small, it doesn't matter. They'll still grow, right? They'll be lanky. They'll just be leaning. So you may want to turn it away from the window every day just to make sure that, you know, they straighten up. Yeah, so that's basically it. Now there's other things, you know, like you have to watch for mold, because the moisture level when you're growing microgreens can become quite high under that tray. And you want to, you know, observe. So if you're planting too thickly, then you're causing the seeds to create a lot of humidity and energy together, and that will cause molding. So that's why I say, like, spread them out. And then if you find molding, what I do is I actually make a spray solution which stops the mold. So it's food grade hydrogen peroxide. I use a 3% solution.
Okay.
And I dilute that in water and I make a spray bottle. And that's how I spray my seedlings. So it's 2 tablespoons of the 3% food grade hydrogen peroxide in a 1 liter water.
Okay. Thank you.
Shake it up and spray over. And if you see like a patch of mold, spray it with that and it'll kill that mold.
Okay. It'll, like, so it doesn't ruin the whole batch.
It doesn't ruin the whole batch. And if you see like, okay, this is really, I need to get rid of this. This is like a gray, just scoop that whole section out. The whole tray is not complete unless you're seeing it everywhere. Like if it's just like one spot, just take that out, spray well and with the hydrogen peroxide spray and carry on.
All right.
Yeah. But that's why you want to, that's why you want to observe. Check every day. Every day.
Every day.
You don't have to spray them like sprouts or like rinse them. But once they get into growth mode and they're under the lights, they can dry. You don't want to miss a single day. You want to check. And if you find that they're like active, but it's drying quick, spray, like give them bottom water. So I prefer to bottom water once the roots come through. I no longer spray from above. I only spray the seeds when they're, like what I showed you earlier with the arugula, like I spray at that stage, but once the roots come through, I stop spraying and I only water at the bottom, because spraying them above can also cause mold, too much moisture. So better to have it dry and water from below.
Okay. And what is the time span for microgreens?
So it depends again, what it is.
Yes.
And it can be 7 to 14 days depending on the seed. Yeah. Some are faster, like radishes might be much quicker. Arugula might be 2 weeks.
Okay.
You know, sunflowers and peas, maybe a week, maybe a little bit more, 7 to 10 days for them. And yeah, there's so many tricks. Like once you get started, so the easiest seeds, so if you're a brand new microgreen grower, I would say start with peas and sunflowers. They are the easiest. Sunflowers have hulls on them, and so they need that weight, otherwise they will lay sideways or have their roots facing north. So you want to, you know, you want to keep them down. But once they start, once they're all rooted and the hulls are still on them, what I do is I spray them. I spray the hulls. Those are tougher seedlings. I spray them and then I kind of brush my hand on them really gently. And then by spraying them first, it softens the hulls and then they pop off. They help to pop off. Or I just like spray them to soften those hulls and then they themselves will eventually pop off the hulls.
Okay.
So that's one little trick. And then with peas, it's the easiest. Peas will just grow. And they can even have two cuttings. So oh, because okay. you know how peas don't have a true leaf, really. They just kind of come up and then they have like leaf joints. So you can do a cutting and then take another cutting later. So you can do two cuttings with peas. Or you can just take one and start over. It depends on what you want to do.
Yeah. That was my next question. Was it, is it one and done? Or can you like harvest and then they keep going? But pretty much you just harvest and then you throw away the seeds.
Yeah, so like a cotyledon, you're harvesting the cotyledon, right? So on every seedling, you're harvesting the cotyledon, the stem, and the cotyledon is the first leaf. You haven't let the first true leaf grow, right? You're just harvesting the baby leaf. So it doesn't from the stem, nothing will grow because the cotyledon is the first growth. But with a pea, they don't really have a cotyledon, right? They've got like leaf joints. And as long as you take from the top, that's tender. If you let it grow, it becomes tougher. So with this, that's really the only one that you can take more than one cutting, and I would say two at the most, and then it just becomes a tougher, kind of stringier, pullier stem, like just tougher to chew, right? It becomes more fibrous. But yeah, first cutting if you want, or just cut the whole thing. But yeah, it's just basically the one for every single one of them.
Wow, that is great.
Yeah.
And how do you use the microgreens? So again, in salad, are there any that you recommend sauteing, or is it similar to the sprouts?
I would say with microgreens, I wouldn't cook any of them because they are full of water and they will just fall apart if you try to cook them.
Okay.
But they are heartier. So I really like sunflower microgreens on a butternut squash soup because butternut squash soup tastes really good with like pumpkin seeds on top. So instead of, you can just like put a few on top of that and they're really tasty. You know, they're really great. You can make a combination, a whole bowl of different colors of different microgreens, make a nice salad, depending on what you have growing, and every seed is different. So there's like the microgreen growing 101, which is the easy ones, right? The peas, sunflowers, you can do, radishes are really easy, broccoli, kale, like these, the brassicas are fairly easy to grow. And then there's the more advanced level, you know, so beets and chard have a really tough seed and they just don't want to let go of it. They just, you know, so you end up getting the stem with like a seed stuck to the top, which is annoying. So if that one needs more pressure, that one you want to like make it work longer under the weights, right? That one is gonna, you just need to make that one work. But that it will grow, but this is kind of like once you've already done it many times and you know what you're doing, then you can start doing those seeds. Those are much, much tougher.
Tricky ones.
Yeah, arugula can be tricky too because arugula is lazy. So if you take off the cover too soon, the blackout cover, it will stop growing. It'll just green up, but it'll stay really short. Then you won't be able to cut it. So that one, you learn, right?
You're
better off taking the weight, but don't take off the blackout. Take the weight off because then it'll get squashed.
Okay.
But the blackout, leave it there to grow as tall as it can before you take off the cover. So yeah, I would start with those. Those are fairly easy. I've done cilantro. If you like cilantro, it's really delicious. And that one you can cut at the first true leaf. So it makes a tiny little baby leaf and you can cut it then.
Okay.
It's really flavorful. Basil too, I would leave probably in blackout a little bit longer because it makes a really short stem. But it's so pungent because microgreens like sprouts are way stronger in flavor than a full grown plant.
Right.
And it's just more pungent. So herbs are really, you could do parsley, you could do celery, fennel, dill, you know, all these. And then you can do watermelon and cucumber. If you like the flavor of they taste like cucumber. The actual seedling, the microgreen seedling, tastes so much like cucumber. Because if you're growing cucumber from seed for a plant, right, to grow in the garden, and you touch the leaf, it smells like cucumber. Well, you can eat that. So you can do And
how
some, you know, for
about
fun.
storing? Yeah, so the store is the same thing in the fridge, dry, like.
So with, I don't wash them. I try not
Okay.
to. So the, you want to be careful when you harvest. So if you're using a soil base, like whether it's core or sea starting mix, when you cut them so carefully. Use a really sharp knife if you
Okay.
can to gently slide it and pick them up and try not to disturb the soil. You want to leave everything intact. So that way your microgreens are clean. Like you cut,
Okay.
pick up with your fist and put it in a bowl, you know, and then again and again, or you can use scissors, but do it gently. Try not to like lift anything up so it doesn't disturb the
Okay.
soil. If you're growing in a Terra Fiber mat, then you're not worrying about the soil, right? It's just,
Right.
it's cleaner. So some people grow in paper towels too, or, you know,
Ooh.
like there's even liners you can purchase, which are kind of papery, but they're just tougher because you have to make sure that you're not letting them dry because the paper dries fast under a light. So
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
always,
Okay.
you know, watering them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so can you do you then need to use them right away, or can you keep them in a container in the fridge?
I would say again, 3 to 5 days
Okay.
for them in a fridge. I like a little piece of paper towel at the bottom just to absorb any moisture and put them in a container. Don't squish them. If you want to do the large Ziploc bag, you could as well. Just don't squish it. Leave the air in the
Okay.
bag so they're not
Okay.
compressed and they will last you. Yeah. And
Wow.
they're really fun.
Well.
They're fun to do with kids too, because you know you can have your kids like handle the seeds. They're really
Yeah.
small and they just love like little things. And you can like make it creative for them, put them in like little you know those paper berry boxes, they're like the little harvest boxes. You
Yeah.
can do in there and you do different colors and
Yeah.
you can really use any vessel.
Okay.
With I like drainage holes, but if there's no drainage holes, then that's fine too. Just make sure you drain it out the side. Now, I
Right.
wanted to mention when I started, I didn't use trays. I used like containers. You know, I even
Okay.
used like a nice ceramic bowl from the kitchen, and that was fine. I used plastic wrap for the top,
Oh.
and I just planted it like I would anything, and then I took the plastic wrap off. Don't put it in the window because in the plastic wrap, you don't want to put it in the light because that'll just make it perspire and cause
Oh,
mold to grow.
mold.
And yeah, so just keep it away from the sun if you're having plastic wrap on it. But then you take it off and it grows like normal, and you can have like all these mini cute
Yeah.
vessels for it.
Oh, that's good. And that's fun. Like, you don't have to make a big investment, right? If you wanted to try it, then you could spend your money on the soil and the seed and just use what you have in the house. Those mushroom
Yeah.
can I hate throwing away those mushroom containers. So I do, I
I
have a bunch
know.
that I use for seed starting, for vegetable seed starting. But even the other day we had a recipe where it needed two containers of mushrooms, and I'm like, these were such nice containers, you just hate sending them to recycling. So that's
I
a great.
use them. I use them too.
Yeah.
They're great. I even use
Yeah.
them as a catch basin. If I have like a little sea tray, like a cell pack, I put the cell pack in them because it holds the water and
Oh,
it's easy to
yeah.
transport,
Yeah. Yeah.
right?
And kids like anything that grows, especially quickly, that they love to see the results. So that's why in school they have them grow, start the bean seeds, right? And I always say, well, amaryllis can be slow to get going, but then once they go, I feel like the kids, I know my mother-in-law was a kindergarten teacher, and she'd have the kids like measure every day, they'd come in and measure how tall the amaryllis, because it's something the kids could
Cute.
visually see and really get it behind. And I think sprouts is another thing. Like, so it's something as simple as sunflower seeds. They love the taste, they know what they are. And then they can have it on their dinner plate. It's a great way to educate kids on growing food, I think, and having them, try something different, right? Because then maybe after they've tried the
Yes.
sunflower seed ones, they'll try, a broccoli, or something else. So, yeah.
Exactly. If they grow it themselves too, they're more inclined to taste it. If they're finicky about flavors, if
Yes.
it was there, you know, if they're watching it grow, then they may want to taste it more so. Like even, you know, you can grow carrot tops as microgreens, and that's, you know, tastes good and it's really healthy for them and really green. I was going to say, you can, if you have any old seeds at home that you know, were using for starting seeds for your garden. And you're not sure how, you know, if they're old or if they're still viable, you can try to grow them, put them in a little bowl and make a, you know, like a mini microgreens dish with them.
Okay.
Just use them for microgreens. Anything you want to get rid of, you're not sure, you
Yeah.
can just grow it like that. There's, you
Okay.
know, no reason not to. I actually have a post coming out shortly on my website. It's called Microgreens Growing Project. And it's
Excellent.
good for kids. It's a, like a little, it's a little project, and I show different containers. But I did this a while back with my kids. You know those aluminum foil loaf pans they sell at the Dollarama or the dollar store? You can turn that into a little microgreens garden. Just poke a few holes at the bottom, And my daughter, what I had her do was take mini little labels, like also from the Dollarama, and she had a garden in her, like we had two, she had two gardens, and she divided those little containers into three little gardens, and you could see their growth was like, they had different heights, and they were
Yeah.
labeled, and she made one for me, and she said, "Mama's pretty garden," and it was really cute, and she loved it. It was so much fun for her to watch. She sat in the kitchen, on the windowsill. After they germinated, we put them on the windowsill in the kitchen, and she had her own mini garden. She kept her eye on it, and I think that is really fun for them. Like, which
Yeah.
ones do you want to grow? Let's pick the ones you want. Okay, and
Yeah.
these are your options. And I want to do this, this, and this. And then she took the seeds and she carefully sprinkled them with her tiny hands, and it was really cute.
Oh, that's
So that's coming out
wonderful.
on the website shortly. It's my next post.
Excellent. Yes, and you have a great YouTube channel as well, and I'll have all of that in the
Thank
show
you.
notes for the episode. So thank you
Awesome.
very much. I mean, I've learned a lot, and you make me want to go downstairs and well, I have this partial kit thing, so maybe I'll start with this alfalfa, and we'll see how it
Yeah.
goes. I do want to give out a shout because I've been saying this a lot to people online and everybody who listen that they're starting seeds for vegetables or any type of seed to buy local. And you have a great seed store on your website as well because you grow so many vegetables in that 7,000 square foot garden. And you showed me all your, I know it's a lot of work that goes into putting those seeds in little envelopes. I loved the yellow pear cherry tomatoes I bought from you a few years ago. And so I definitely want to recommend to our listeners to check out your seed store as well for growing
Thank
vegetables.
you.
And I'm so happy to have a
Awesome.
chat, and I'll have you back anytime because there's always so much to talk about. And I want to visit that garden room again. So
Please
yeah.
do.
Yes, I definitely will. And anytime you want to bounce ideas off, we can have a Zoom coffee because we live at
I'd love
opposite ends
to.
of the GTA, right? But
I'd love to. Yes.
yeah,
I'd love
so I
to.
want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you learned a lot today, just as much as I did, and love for you to share our stories. You're growing with us on our social media, and all of that will be in our show notes. So thank you again, everybody, for joining us down the garden path.